I'm Tim Ventura from AmericanAntiGravity.com, and I'm speaking today with Troy Hurtubise, the Canadian inventor of the Bear Suit Light Infantry Military Blast Cushion, Fire Paste, Formula 1313, and the remarkable Angel Light. Well, thanks for joining us today, Troy. I was wondering if you could start out by telling us a little bit about your inventions and how you go about the process of inventing.
Well, all inventions up to Angel Light were part and parcel to the Ursa series of protective suits. In the earlier days, back in 86, my college days, when I first started to work on the protective suits to do my grizzly bear research, I received many calls from various organizations, the United Nations for landmine extraction, and fire departments out of Los Angeles and bomb squads, asking if the final prototype of the suits would have applications in these areas. And I really never gave it much thought. I thought, well, yeah, I guess, okay, I'd have to make it bulletproof, and I'd have to make it flame-proof, and so all the innovations, the Excalibur system for blunt trauma, and fire paste, and the limbic system came from the suits. The Angel Light, that was straight out of a dream. That was, since I was 15, I sometimes have dreams that repeat themselves, which is, from what I hear, very, very rare, and I had Angel Light three times, the exact same sequence, the exact same dream, what it was, how to build it, what it did. And I finally looked at it and said, okay, fine, I'll build it. So it took me a little over 1,000 hours and about $80,000, and I put it together.
Well, these are remarkable inventions, and the Discovery Channel, for one, ran a special on these inventions on September 15th. You've also had extensive coverage in print and, more recently, national radio. I was just wondering how you're holding up with all the publicity. Has it been good or
Oh, I've been doing this for 17 years. I mean, my goodness, I've been talking to the media and doing my demonstrations with the suits and my grizzly research and the innovations for, like I say, 17 years. So the media is not any strain on me. It's just been recently, about when I first invented Hertzy, which is a bulletproof material, and I lectured at MIT on it. And during the lecture, I basically took a woman's makeup pad, cotton pad that she uses on her face, and I said any six-month-old child can pull this apart, but if I coat it with the Hertzy formula and press it under a 20-ton press for 24 hours, I could pick a car up with it, with a single woman's makeup pad. Well, the MIT paper covered that, and Ripley's, believe it or not, in St. Augustine, Florida, they got a hold of it and asked me, could we fly you down and put you to the test? So I did. I went down to St. Augustine, Florida, and it was all filmed in that, and they brought in a big 80-foot crane and got a car and put special vices on it and put the woman's makeup pad between the vice and the car and the chains and picked it up off the ground. And after that, the scientific community is taking it a lot more serious. And then, of course, the innovation of fire paste alone was the one that basically sent everybody looking for me. And I went to University of Toronto, and I let them have samples of it to test, and they basically looked at it and said, it's real, it's 20 years ahead of NASA, and then my brother being in the military, and the hundreds of soldiers dying in Iraq needlessly with regards to their Hummers not being protected, I took it upon myself to invent Limbic, and of course I invited the world's media and the politicians, and Canada brought in the representative from the Defense Department. Discovery Channel was there. I brought in the sharpshooters from Vietnam, just bomb experts, and we went at the bags and proved that, it's the lightest in the market, cheapest on the market, and it could save lives. So, but not a lot of attention. Lots of attention from the media, lots of attention from the scientific community, lots of attention from the public, but not a call. The only person that called me, because I invited all diplomats and everybody to actually see the Limbic in field testing, President Clinton and Prince Charles were the only ones to get a hold of me, which was kind of nice, but they don't have the political clout that, a Bush or a Cheney or Rumsfeld or McCain or Kerry, any of them, the ones talking about, we need this, our poor soldiers, and it just went by the wayside like all the other innovations, the big corporations, the military, the governments, only now, and of course you have to ask yourself a question, why? Well, it has military application, well, so does Limbic. But I guess the key is it is a national defense security issue. So that's why everybody's calling it Angel Light.
Sure. Well, you know, with a lot of the inventions that I've worked on or else covered, one of the things I'm finding is the last couple of years have had a real upsurge in publicity and real serious attention from both government and industry for these inventions. So I'm hoping that it's the beginning of kind of a new trend of acceptance for the work of independent inventors who just haven't been able to get recognized for a while.
Well, yeah, it's an old school, right? I mean, a lot of my closest friends are Nobel laureates, and I talk to them at length at times and when I'm stuck on something and that. And I get my advice from them, and like they said, it's old school. It always has been. We have a strict methodology we follow. Yours is ass backwards, but it's the backyard inventors, the Edisons of the world, that make the great discoveries. You don't have a PhD behind your name, and then that's why you're not taken serious by the countries that need it. And I still didn't get it, but he explained it the right way. He said, look, Troy, NASA, the Columbia shuttle goes down, everybody dies, it's a huge, fiasco, it's a public relations nightmare. Okay, so now they're going to put it back up in the air. Right? A couple of years went by, yada, yada, yada. He says, now, the head of NASA stands up and says, we have a new tile system from Lockheed or whatever. Well, everybody goes crazy. Oh, it's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. Or we have a new tile system invented by DuPont. Oh, everybody goes nuts. Troy, could you imagine them standing up NASA and saying, we have a new tile system, we're going to send our astronauts in space from Troy Hershey's. The first question would be, well, who's he? Oh, he's some hick that lives in North Bay and studies bears. They would never do it, Troy. Even though they know it works. Because you don't have that PhD behind you, it's just not going to work. So the other question always was, well, why don't you get a university to back you? And I have had many offers from universities, but at least I have very close friends that are great scientists in the field, and they tell me the truth. They say, listen, Troy, you take Firebase into a university, they'll be more than happy, Troy, to work with you. They will be more than happy to patent it, to cover the patent, to manufacture it, but they will take the lion's share. You're looking at 70%, Troy, and the patent will go in your name.
Yeah.
Well, what
yeah.
people don't understand is I have to do this all myself. So when you look at Firebase, as we speak, I am down to owning 1% of it. That's all I got left. Limbic, I own a mere 30% of it because I have to sell the percents off to invest in and basically supply my needs for other innovations. So I've sold out everything that I have, and I mean, they're cheap. I mean, you're talking $1,000, $2,000 a percent, not a share, an actual percent. To raise the money to build Angel Light. Angel Light is 1,000 hours in the making and $80,000. France is the first country to walk in to say, look, if it can do what you say it can, we'd love to come down. So they send people down. I turn it on. I get the hell out of the room because I'm sick enough. The stuff will kill you. And they go crazy. So they look and they say, listen, how much will it take to put it all back together again and give us a boost ratio. In other words, you can hit 70,000 feet, but we'd like to be able to hit space. I said it probably cost $40,000. Bam, right there. $40,000 cash. Okay, do it. They saw it work. They opened up the wall. They brought in this special box. I've never seen anything like that before. It looked like it was all mirrored. And I said, what's that? And they said, it's just curiosity. Your angel light can take out anything electronic. I said, yes. Well, we'd like to see what it could do with this. So I guess they were assuming you couldn't get through it. But I told them, guys, even though you got a mirror on it, I know light's not supposed to go through mirrors, but mine goes through mirrors. And, of course, it did, and it took out the electronics. So they went crazy. I'm not an idiot. I'm not ignorant. I know France could care less that they could see through walls in real time space or pick up stealth technology. They're interested in the fact that it can take out anything electronic. And in that 90% of the world's militaries right now are electronic. You're basically finished if you come up against Angel Light. It doesn't matter if they're stealth fighters. It doesn't matter if they're jets, tanks, planes. It doesn't matter if it's satellites. It doesn't matter if it's intercontinental ballistic missiles. Everything runs on electronics. Once it passes through the beam of light, it just simply falls out of the sky. So that's obviously what they want it for.
Well, can you explain any of the fundamental physics behind the beam's ability to penetrate? Well, one,
yes.
I had an
eminent physicist 2 days ago call me from Germany. And I'm getting a lot of calls now, and he called and said, congratulations, and he said, you did it, didn't you? And I knew what I had done, but I wanted to see if he could catch it. And I said, well, what would that be, doctor? He said, you bugger. He said, you fused the light. And I said, wow, it's astute observation, doctor. I said, yes. He said, do you know how you did it? I said, not really. I said, I just simply see it in my mind. And I saw this in the Gmail, put it together. And he said, you used to be, because he had read my background on that, he said, you used to be in scrap metal. And I said, yeah. He says, well, here's basically what you did. He said, we've always theorized it. He said, if you take aluminum and you melt it, and you melt tin, and you amalgamate them together. You fuse them together. Metals fuse together. What do you get? And I said, you get aluminum diecast. He said, exactly. He said, if you took a flashlight that was white light, and you took another flashlight that was blue light, and you put the beams together, what would you get? I said, absolutely nothing. He said, exactly, because you can't fuse light. He said, you fused light. I said, yes, I did. He said, what's it look like when it comes out of it? I said, it's actually unique. I said, it's solid. It looks solid. It looks dense. It looks heavy. So basically, I've taken all the spectrums of light. You've got laser in there. You've got black light, blue light, fluorescent light. You've got white light, all these things. You're mixing them with inert gases. They're under pressure in chambers. You're using electromagnetism. You're using open electricity and pure oxygen, which, see, science doesn't go that way. See, when a lawyer talks to me, he says, see, Trey, we wouldn't do that because that's dangerous. That would blow up. You can't take pure oxygen out of an acetylene tank. You know, oxygen. He said, if you've got open electricity inside there. I said, yeah. He said, that should blow up. I said, yeah, but the way I thought in my mind, if I did it this way, it wouldn't blow up, and it works. He said, you see, we wouldn't take that step because we know that's very dangerous. Why would you do that? I said, well, exactly. I'm not a scientist, so I do it, and it works. And then, of course, you've got, oh, my goodness, I have enough lenses, binocular lenses and special telescopic lenses. I could watch an astronaut in space shaving. I mean, you know, you've got all that in there, and you've got an array of other things. It's actually 5 units. You're looking at 14 feet, a quarter of a ton in weight. And it literally, I guess the physicist out of Germany said, but you see, the most amazing thing, Troy, is you're running it off of 120 volts off a house. I said, yeah. He said, you don't get You can't comprehend what you did. He said, if you take a look at a normal laser, Troy, just a laser that doesn't do anything, yours does. The power it takes to generate the laser, he said, is extraordinary. You're simply plugging it into a wall. I said, exactly. That's no problem. But I said, you've got microwaves in there, and that's where all these little things came from. You see, in my dream, I saw that it looked through walls in real time space. I didn't know it could pick up stealth technology. That was associates of mine from scientists who called and said, you know, what you're working on, and I would tell them, and they'd say, well, you know, if you're able to do that, you're working with microwaves. And I said, yeah. Well, he says, you're also, it's basically radar, Troy. I said, okay, see, I don't understand that. They said, listen, could you do a test for us? So I did the test they instructed me to do, and it picks up stealth technology. By accident, I only learned that it can take it on anything electronic because the vehicle, the little, you know, those, they're like $400 or $500 remote vehicles. They run electronics. Well, I had it on a 60-foot sled, and as it's coming on at you at, 8-9 miles an hour, the radar gun picks up. Well, then you put the stealth technology on it, and, of course, the radar gun can't pick it up. So then I would put Angel Light on it, and, of course, the car would move. So I thought the car was just broken. So back to Radio Shack I would go. I'd give them the car, and they'd give me another one. Well, the same thing would happen again. It was only by the third time I thought, you know what's happening, eh? The light's killing the electronics. So I called the scientists back, and they said, you got to be kidding me. So they said, okay, try this, TVs, anything electronic. And then they said, go buy a plane. I had to go buy one of these freaking remote control planes, like $1,800. We brought it out in the field. We had the flyer. It was about 200 feet in the air. It was doing loop-de-loops. And then we turned the Angel Light on. And as soon as it passed through the beam of light, it just simply fell out of the sky. But there's no there's no scarring. There's no fires. There's no fusion of the electronics. It just completely zaps it right into the sky.
Well, so this really uses photons then, right? These are photons that the beam is composed of. They're just fused together. Yeah, do you know what the wavelength is?
Because I've got plasma rods. I'm using also plasma rods. I have no idea. I have no credentials whatsoever. I'm a bear behavioral specialist. I'm a natural resources technologist. I'm an environmentalist. That's what I study.
Oh, yeah,
I have no idea what I did. I just see it in my mind, and I do it, and it's up to the scientific world, like Firebase. They couldn't believe what it doesn't make sense, Troy. I mean, we brought it to UFT. Discovery Channel was right there, and they brought it through five of their top machines. Some of these machines were $6 million a machine. And these machines are able to tell you, doesn't matter what it is, once we crush it up and we powderize it and do all that kind of stuff like that, this machine's going to spit out exactly a breakdown of 100%, 2% calcium, 3% this, 2.8 of this, da-da-da-da. Mine punched out. It came out 79.5%. Well, they were stunned because it can't read 20% of it. They have no idea what's in there. I said, well, I told you wouldn't be able to know what's in there. You have no idea. Well, I can tell you right now, I can go to a local hardware store, and I can buy fire paste.
Yeah, speaking of the fire paste, now, do you sell samples for that at all? Because I had a couple of inquiries for people who'd like to test it. These are actually, you know, more on the university government level.
Oh, yeah. But no, we don't. I have no control over it anymore. guy lost control and basically sold it outright. Some guy's got it out of Toronto. I don't know what the hell he's doing it, selling it to 3M or some bloody thing like that.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, yeah.
Well, that'll be out in the market, along with the Lindvik. I don't have control of it anymore. I mean, you know, I don't, money's not a big deal to me. I mean, France gives me the $50 million they're promising to buy this. I'll take $1 million, buy my house that I'm still living in right now. I mean, it's only a $110,000 home. It ain't no mansion, I can tell you that. Buy my pickup truck and build me a proper lab. The rest will go to the food banks across Canada. I mean,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Money's no big deal to me. All I want is a proper lab.
Oh, yeah, no, the inquiries I had, they were saying, yeah, we'd like to test some of this fire pace, you know, is Troy willing to part with any of it just to see if it works?
Done it 100 times. Oh, my God. Blow torches between the eyes, Discovery Channel, on the helmet. I brought it to U of T. I brought it to the biggest fire department in Ontario, Canada. They've all done it. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times science said that it's impossible, Troy. You can't eliminate the cross transfer of heat. You're saying to us that a mere half inch of this stuff can handle direct contact of 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit heat for 15 solid minutes, and the cross transfer of heat on the other side will only raise 50 degrees Fahrenheit. I said, that's correct. They said, that it is a scientific impossibility. I've done it 100 times in front of the scientific community, in front of the scientific media. Discovery Channel brought their own torches. What, are you kidding me? They brought their own torches. They brought their own scales. Because I said it's 3 times as strong as NASA's tile system. It's 45% lighter, and it's 98% cheaper.
Well, absolutely.
Discovery Channel came up with all the equipment, the whole 9 yards, microscopes, did the whole test, and yes, it's proven. There you go.
Well,
no calls from NASA.
Did you ever hear about Starlight in the 1990s?
Yeah.
It reminded me of that when you started describing it.
Yes, studied it well. And funny how you never hear that guy anymore.
Yeah, Maurice Ward, who was...
That's funny, and that went all the way to NASA. NASA did the tests, and you never hear it. So they either bought them out and said, basically, shut up and go away, or they basically knocked them off and... stolen. I mean, my phone's bugged right now. That's a fact. I have military connections to the yin-yang. I have special units come in and do my whole lab, and we find bugs all the time. This phone is tapped. They said, Troy, your phone's been tapped for 2 years. I get back from MIT. I've been followed for 6 months. I mean, you know, I'm not totally ignorant of NSA and stuff like that. I'm not an idiot stick. I know I got a file a half a foot thick with the FBI. I'm not stupid. I'm not doing anything wrong. I've offered it to the United States, all my innovations. They don't give a shit. I've offered it to Canada. They don't give a shit. So now all of a sudden everybody cares because I'm going to France. Well, you know what? I'm a Canadian. And if I so wish, I can sell this to Cuba. We don't have embargoes like the United States of America does. I can sell it to North Korea if I like. But I'm not going to. I'm selling it to France. I'm French. I got nothing wrong with French. There, you take it. They're the first to call. I'm a man of honor. They were the first ones to call, the first ones to take me serious, the first one to put up the money. They get angel light. Oh, well, too bad for America.
Sure. Well, you know, in the French are doing some remarkable science work also, so this probably ties in with a lot of their R&D efforts over there.
Yeah. I know I've had a lot of calls and from, you know, worried professionals that say, you know, you got to watch yourself, Troy, and, you know, I mean, they'll steal it before they'll buy it off you, and, you know, stuff like this. And, well, you know what? I mean, I've lived half my life in the Rockies. I mean, I could care less. I've seen things and done things that, I mean, what, a couple of guys in suits, big deal. I mean, you know, you're going to steal it. I could care less.
Well, you know,
it's just an innovation to me.
I think one of the big realizations that a lot of the organizational level groups are starting to make is that when you separate the invention from the inventor, you inherently lose something. So even if they, you know, even if they had a perfect plan for it, they would walk away with much less than you have just by having built it. So I think the old days of people stealing inventions and running away with them are coming to a close, because I think they're starting to realize that the inventor
is... national security issue. Like, this is so big. I mean, I've gotten calls, like, oh, my God, it's unbelievable. I mean, big, high government people. And I know I'm not stupid. Well, here's an example. It's just an example so people can understand it, because I'm also an historian in war, and I could get into 100 different things and people wouldn't understand it. Take Palestine and take Israel, okay? Palestine's got the slingshots. Israel's got the big, mighty army. If Palestine, not that I'm going to give it to them so people don't email me go nuts. I'm just giving you examples so you can comprehend what people are saying about Angel Light.
Yeah, just
if they bought Angel Light, they would be the big boys in the block. Israel could do nothing to them. Send you planes, because they'll just all fall out of the sky. Send you tanks, because they'll just all stop right there. And if we shine it on anybody, we can kill whole divisions. That's the problem with it. That's why I don't invent things to kill people. And if you're exposed to Angel Light for more than 5 minutes, it'll kill you. Simple as that. Whole divisions. You put an aperture of a mile in diameter on this, which is not hard to do, and you shine it on a whole division. I'm talking 20, 30,000 frickin' Marines, and within 5 minutes, they're done. They're finished. They're all gone.
Yeah. Well, but on the flip side, this could be the basis of a new technology for, you know, who knows how many applications, you know, space flight.
Well, see, that's the paradox. Get the Hyde effect out, I lose, and also do. We basically discovered out of accident. If you take a negative, which the light is, if the light is a negative, and you put the positive, which a human being is, you get a negative, it'll kill you. But if you take an aquarium, you seal it off, put a rat inside of it, hook up a hose through the glass to a muffler system, and pump in straight carbon monoxide, the rat will die in mere minutes. But do the same thing with another rat, put angel light on it, and he'll live indefinitely.
Yeah, I'm
looking as an environmentalist what this could do for the environment. Cars, no more pollution. Smokestacks, industry. My God, it's unbelievable. We took roses, long-stem roses, bought from a florist. You know, they give you the rose, we stick it in the vase, half full of water. We don't add anything to it, just like that. Within 5 days, the rose is dead. Take another rose, put it in the same vase with a half a thing of water, and every 5 hours, put angel light on it for 30 seconds. It'll live for months.
Yeah. Well,
so that's the other. I mean, if I get rid of the Hyde effect, I mean, there's also good uses for it. If that's the whole point, who do you trust? I mean, what? I'm sorry. I don't trust any military. I surely don't trust the United States military. So anybody that gets it, they might say, well, you know, we only want it for this, we don't want it for that. I know what France is going to do with it. That's the whole conundrum. And I told them straight out, even though they put up the money, I told them straight out, before anything was handed over or anything, I said, listen, gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, this is the seventh time I'm going to put it together after taking it apart to try to get the Hyde effect out. If after 3 months I turn it on and the Hyde effect is still there, it is me and only me that decides whether I give it to you or not. If I decide, no, you lose the 40 grand, told them that straight up front. They said, no problem.
Sure. Well, you know, it almost sounds like it makes living organisms more efficient in a way. Maybe, you know, since they're able to live.
Yeah, but not a human. See, the cell structure of a plant is far different from a human being. So what is it in the plant that actually uses angel light to its benefit, but a human being, it, like I've already had tests and everything, my white blood cells, shit, it's gone. I mean, I've only been exposed maybe 3 minutes in all the times that I've had it on. And that's just a flashback, and it's killing me, literally. I'm down 14, 18 pounds. I cough blood. I got hair loss. I mean, it's deadly.
Yeah.
But if you put it on plants, it basically, they're like reborn.
Well, back to the viewing part of it for a sec. Now, how is it that this can see through a wall to see a license plate, but it doesn't see through the license plate? I don't understand how it looks.
Because it sees through the wall, it'll see through the first barrier, I guess. I don't know. I had an MIT scientist down here in my lab, and that's what he said. You can see through it. It depends on the power output. I mean, if you put it on the ground opens up, and you can see like, 30 feet below the ground. But that's where it stops, Troy. If you had more output, more power, I mean, you're basically working in a kitchen, then you could hit 200 miles. You could hit 300 miles deep into something. But he says, when you're looking through the garage, but it's not that it doesn't affect nothing. I made the mistake. I don't know. My mind's so screwed up half the time. I'm working 21-hour days. I put the stupid thing on in the garage, in my lab. I got a 2-foot brick wall. It goes through the brick wall. I forget the wife's car's in the garage. It's gone. $1,800 to get the damn electronics fixed on it.
Yeah. Oh, so it'll actually affect things, but it only goes through the first barrier then.
It goes through the first barrier.
Because
of the output, I guess, the power output. I mean, I'm running it off house electricity.
Yeah, yeah. So at the most, I think, isn't that something like 11 kilowatts that you can draw from house mains?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what the physicist out of Germany said. He said, my God, Troy, can you imagine if you hook this damn thing up to reactors? Like, I mean, power, real power. I said, exactly. I said, well, I don't have real power. I live in North Bay, buddy. I got a house. I stick it in the plug. That's it. That's what I got to work with.
Oh, you know, I've had the same problem. I've actually had to kind of jack into my dryer vent on occasions, or my dryer outlet, because it's 220 for some experiments.
That's right, yeah.
So yeah, well, you know, in terms of the theory, then it's really just fusing light, and there's nothing else to it, or it's just not totally.
Not from what the guy from Germany says. I'm sure there's a few other things, but like you said, the mainstay, the brain of it, is your light spectrum fusion array, which I have hooked up to a Walmart microwave. That's basically what it is, and he said you're actually fusing light. Yeah. Using light. Well, that's what's allowing me to do the things you're doing.
You know,
that's history.
The long chamber in it almost looks like a big lasing tube.
Yeah. That's has nothing to do with angel light. That is what France paid for. That's my booster. That's my plasma booster so they can hit space. They want to see if they can knock satellites out.
Oh, so the plasma rod's plugged into the large booster then, right? Oh, okay. Okay, so the
actual... just gives me a boost, and then I've got the deflector dish, the other piece there that you see, the big glass piece. That's also has got nothing to do with angel light. That just boosts it, because I can hit 70,000 feet on just normal. The innovation's a two-piece innovation. You got the brain and the heart. These other pieces, that's basically what France has paid for. They want to know if I can, you can take satellites out. And I said, sure. I mean, you know, I got to get this, and this, and yeah, I can pump it up, though. So they'd like to get 200-300-mile range out of it. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. So the actual angel light is fairly compact then compared to the booster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the boosters are nothing compared to angel light. Angel light is, the brain itself is like, holy jeez, yeah, deadly stuff. Of course, the heart of it is the plasma array, or the fusion array. That's the heart of it. Without that, see, if you turn on the first one, the first unit, that gives birth to angel light, but it's immature. It won't do nothing. But as soon as it comes through the fusion array, that's it. I mean, that's deadly stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what allows the walls to open up in real time space. I mean, I didn't understand what I did until one expert called me and said, no, this is what you don't understand, Troy. Jesus, man. The military's got shit that they can see through mountains. But what you don't understand, Troy, they're using like a microwave, and it has to bounce back and feed into a viewing screen. And it's not real-time space, Troy. It's like you know, images, stuff like that. You don't need anything. You're basically saying, I said, yeah, think of a flashlight. Go buy a flashlight at the hardware store. Walk up to a wall. Turn the flashlight onto the wall. Where that beam of light is, you see through it in real-time space.
Yes.
You actually believe that you can walk through it. I've almost broke my fist twice because you forget. You're looking through the garage and through the brick wall, and you want to put your hand through it because there's nothing there. But there is there. You'll break your hand on it.
Yes.
I mean, when we opened up the ground, we brought it out in the front yard. Just screwing around, me and my brother. He said, I want to know if you can see the ground underneath, like the pipes and all the city and the infrastructure and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, sure, okay, boom, we turn it on. Well, my aperture that I had brought in was about maybe 3 feet in diameter. And my brother actually thought that if he jumped in the hole, he would go all the way down. In other words, he went to put his foot into it. Like there's nothing there. But, of course, there's ground. So he put his foot on it, there's ground. So the actual wall is still there. If you try to run through it, figuring, oh, there's a porthole, you'd kill yourself. You'd smash your head against the brick wall.
Yeah.
So I don't know the physics involved. I don't know why it's doing, like, I don't know what that is. So what's it doing to the molecules and all this kind of stuff like that? I've had a few scientists call, and it's like, buddy, whoa, pal. I study grizzly bears. I don't got a clue what the hell you're talking about. I cannot program a VCR. Do you understand that? I couldn't program a VCR to save my life. I said this, I simply see it in my head. I simply see it in my head. It's not a big reach, guys. I see it in my head. Yes, if you look at angel light, you look at the electronics and everything on it, you see, oh my God, man, that's like PhD in physics. You turn the damn thing on. I said, yeah, but that's not how I see it. No, I can't. I couldn't put together a grade 4 kid's magnet set with a nail in that. But I said, when I see it in my mind, especially out of a dream, well, in my hands just do all the work. I already know what to do. I know exactly what to do.
Sure, sure.
But I said, if you stole the angel light right now, or if the house caught on fire and it was destroyed, then I can't redo it. I don't have schematics. I don't have prints. The only way I can take it apart and put it back together again is because it's in front of me. I know where all the pieces are. But if you took it away from me right now, I couldn't rebuild it. It'd be a possibility.
Oh, yeah. Well, it almost reminds me of the Searle effect generator, where Searle had a dream in the 40s. You know, it was the rings within rings, and kind of like a bearing inside of a bearing.
Right. Well, they said Einstein went to bed every night with a notepad beside his bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the imagination is a wonderful world. I mean, maybe that's what I have that most scientists don't. Maybe they have all the technical ability and all the schooling and that, but they got no damn imagination. Well, I mean, shit, man, my whole life's on imagination, so, I mean, you know, I just see it. My suits, all of my suits. I mean, forget the marvel that a 20-ton loader can drive in fifth gear and push me through a brick wall and nothing happens to me. Forget that. That's not what the engineers go crazy about when they come to my lab. They look at the suit and they say, see, that doesn't make sense, Troy. It's completely proportional, and you use no drawings, no schematics, no blueprints. You built the damn thing by eye. I said, yeah, I see it in my mind and I built it.
Sure. Well, on that note, we're almost out of time for today, but I sincerely appreciate your explanation of the angel light and your inventions, And, you know, I am definitely going to try and follow up and learn a little bit more about Firepace in the future. But thanks again, and have a great day.
Oh, I appreciate it. You take it easy.
I'm Tim Ventura from AmericanAntiGravity.com, and this is interview number 2 with Troy Hurtubise, the Canadian inventor of the Bear Suit, Light Infantry Military Blast Cushion, Firepaste, Formula 1313, and the Angel Light. Well, Troy, we did an interview about 3 weeks ago where you were discussing the amazing properties of the Angel Light, which you've said was a transparency ray that you were working on to eliminate the hide effect. You've had a big enough breakthrough in the last few days of the device that you're not calling it the Angel Light anymore. Can you tell us the new name and describe the breakthrough?
Well, yeah, oh God, my life, what are you going to do with it? Yeah, I moved from Angel Light to God Light. I don't know what else you could call it. I had NASA call. There's the first time in a life. NASA actually called 3 days ago in relation to Angel Light. They wanted to send down a couple of scientists and that, and unfortunately, what are you going to do? Angel Light doesn't exist anymore.
They actually called me for you also.
Yeah. Everybody wants Angel Light, but unfortunately, I've been working for some time on it, and it's cost me my health to a large degree trying to get the hide effect out. And as I said earlier to you, when the French stepped in to pay for the booster to be put on it and stuff like that, as I said to the French, if I can't get a hide effect out, it'll be my moral decision whether I sell it. And lucky for me, Phil Novak, the journalist who broke the story, he broke it, and scientists from around the world were calling, physicists and that, congratulating me in that. And one particular eminent physicist out of Germany, I started working with him on Angel Light, and he had a couple of ideas and with relation to how to help me rid it of the hide effect. And Angel Light actually consists of 2 units, and God Light now has 7 units to it, so it's 17 feet long now. Thank God there's no more to add on to it, because my lab's only 20 feet long. But this physicist had some great ideas, and I have to give him credit in part. He basically said what he called an ionized electromagnetic heat array, if he could build it with me, might rid the Angel Light of the hide effect. But in effect, it also might render it useless for looking through walls and taking out electrical units. I said, I really don't care. I said, anything to get the hide effect gone. And I said, we'll work on everything else later. So anyway, make a long story short, we built this thing, and I put it on the unit. I had my brother over, and we turned it on, and immediately particle light, the beam of light was totally different, not only in structure but in color. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And it also ain't looking through walls. So I thought, wow. So I stuck my hand in front of it, because that's what I do, and it near burnt it off. I mean, holy Jesus! I mean, I had first degree burns within a millionth of a second. I mean, it just bubbled up and everything. I thought, what the hell? So immediately, my brother, joking around because he's a writer, said, oh, who cares? We can blow things up. So I proceeded to grab things out of the lab to put in front of the light, paper. I thought, it'll just evaporate, but it didn't do anything to the paper. I mean, it was literally cold to the touch. So I thought, this is really odd. This doesn't make any sense. You stick your hand in front of it. If you held it long enough, if you had the tolerance to do it, it would literally blow a hole through your hand. It would burn a hole through your hand. Well, why is it burning the paper?
Yeah. Now, did you try anything lighter than paper that might be
more? Oh, yeah. So I grabbed Kleenex, which, I mean, my goodness, that should have went, you know, cold to the touch. I mean, 5 minutes. We're holding Kleenex to it, and it's cold to the touch. So we try pitchers that, you know, the emulsion on pitchers should just, you know, nothing. Wood, ceramic, steel, any kind of anything basically non-living we put in front of this new light that I ended up calling God Light, and it doesn't do anything to it. Yet if you stick your hand in front of it, so my brother has the idea, go get the houseplant upstairs, go get the houseplant. So we go get the houseplant, and of course it burns right to the houseplant, kill it. So I thought, this is the stupidest thing you ever seen. So I call a physicist, and I said, doctor, I said, I did what you said, and this is what it's doing. And immediately, see, I love science. See, that bugger knew exactly what was going on, but he wouldn't tell me. He said, that's quite queer, he says. He says, could you do me a favor? Because he has an actual breakdown of Angel Light in its original form. And all the new units that we built, he has photographs and everything. He knows the workings inside, so he can help me. So he says, do me a favor. He said, where did you put the ionized electromagnetic heat array? And I said, well, I had it on the number 3 unit. He said, no. He says, do me a favor. Put it at the lead. Because because my light spectrum fusion array that actually fuses the light working on the microwaves is what I always had at the front. He said, no, I don't want that at the front. He said, put it in third and put the heat, the new heat array, at the front. And I said, all right, no problem. So we're talking on the phone while we're doing this. And he says, okay, turn it on. So I turned it on, and he says, stick your hand in front of it. And I won't repeat what I said to him. I said, you're some kind of a magnet. I just burnt my hand. He says, Troy, humor me. Stick your finger in front of the light then. So I stuck my finger in front of the light, and it was amazing. I mean, wow, it was just the coolest sensation you ever experienced in your life. So he said to me on the phone, he says, in layman's terms, Troy, he said, the light is dancing with yourself. He says, my God, he says, would you allow me a favor? And I said, sure, anything, doctor. This is, wow, I don't know where you're going with this. He said, I would like a scientific colleague of mine in a specific field to come over to your lab. I know you don't like science in your lab and that, but I'd like him to conduct some experiments. And I said, sure. I said, no problem at all. But I said, buddy, I said, you're killing me here. 2 days. I said, I know you know something, but you're not telling me. So he said, cancer, Troy. I said, cancer? What the hell are you talking about, cancer? See, I would have never taken that road. So I can't take full credit for God. Like, I mean, he built the array that goes in the front, and I would have never in a million years taken the road to cancer. I said, Doc, wait, have you lost your mind? What are you talking about? He said, well, Troy, it's actually quite simple. He said, not for you, but for me it is. He said, just keep it quiet with regards to the people calling for Angel Light right now. You're going to have to tell them nothing about the new direction it's went. Just hold out for this doctor to come and then the preliminary results.
Oh, sure.
So the doctor came up 2 days later, brought in some lab mice that were infected. One had a tumorous cancer in his stomach. The other one had one in his brain. The one with the stomach cancer was called C12, and the one with the brain tumor was called H27. So he sticks him in front of these. He's got these 2 foot, almost like they look half-inch plate. This mirror, it was almost dark, the color, like a black color, and there are little holes in it where I would shoot the light through on the cancer. We did a 20-minute session, full 20 minutes of direct light on the cancer on the stomach mouse, and then we did the head one for 20 minutes. And then he proceeded to take the skin grafts off each of the areas, and he put some solution on them, and he was talking in his little tape recorder. He filmed everything, but the doctor of physics told me, he said, listen, I know you're apprehensive about having somebody in your lab. Listen, he has to film it. He's not interested in angel light or God light. He's not interested in what it does and that, you know, how it works. He just wants to film what it's doing to the mice. So anyway, he does all this stuff. He was a nice guy, and off he went. So I'm waiting for the results to come in, and I've got all these calls from around the world about angel light, but angel light doesn't exist anymore. I'm on the God light, and I can't say anything to him. So the results came in Thursday, last Thursday, and it was just crazy. I mean, he gave me all these quotes and that, and he said, hang on, I got him right here.
Oh, okay.
This is basically what I've been told to tell to the media.
Oh, awesome.
So,
we actually
get this is straight from the researcher who's, I guess he's a scientist in cancer and that. Though test results are at their infancy with regards to strict scientific protocol, the preliminary findings are beyond realistic expectations. The C12, which is the mouse that had the stomach tumor, had a 27% reduction in tumor size in 52 hours with no adverse side effects. And H27, which was the mouse with the brain tumor, had a 12% reduction in tumor size within 52 hours with no adverse side effects. Now, the one with the stomach had a bigger reduction because he stated that it had already had radiation treatment, whereas the other mouse did not have any. Now, of course, they want to go and bring them up again. I got to get it ready, so they're going to do another session of 20 minutes, and then they're hoping anywhere from 4 to 6 sessions to see how it goes. Now, I'm told from science, unfortunately, that I'm going to be relegated, that's the irony of it all, to 2 years of basically being a technician. In other words, I get to unplug and plug in godlike, while these scientists, I mean, they're the ones that know what they're doing. I have no idea what I'm doing with regards to cancer. But that's basically what I'm doing for the next 2 years. I can't work on anything else in my lab because the freaking thing is 17 feet long. It takes up all my lab. So,
sure.
But I have had, the news has been leaking out, and I have been already warned from the scientists that you're going to get a lot of people that will call that have the cancer already, that have 3 to 6 months to live.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're going to have these people call, and they've already went through all of the known scientific chemotherapy, radiation, and they're going to ask. They have nothing to lose if they can, sit in front of Godly and go through sessions of that. And, you know, you're going to have to look at a moral issue, and they went through all this shit like that. And I really don't care. I mean, I lost my mother-in-law to leukemia 2 years ago, and I watched her die, and it's a horrific way to go. And I have had people call, and, I mean, you know, I sign a waiver. I mean, basically is what I'm telling them. Bring your doctor. I want to know your case history. I want it because they're looking at, if everything goes well, and in 2 years the preliminary studies are done, then they will go for human studies. Well, by that time, I might have already had through my lab 400 or 500 people with different kinds of cancers, and if I can do it properly, in other words, film it, have their doctor on hand, have their case study, what advancement the cancer's in before you do these sessions with Godlight and where it goes after that, then, you know, I can only help the process. What we've done recently is I had a call from an individual that heard about it, and his family member, very close to him, is in the medium stages of Parkinson's disease. And I said, yes, I'm aware of what it is. Michael J. Fox, Muhammad Ali, I said, I'm quite aware of what Parkinson's disease is. But I said, listen, these people are working on this for cancer, and a specific cancer at that. I said, I have no idea what cancers are all about, but I said, I am told from the scientist that's doing the research, it's carcinomas, the most common cancers, which are tumors which surface or line internal organs, lungs, breast, prostate, skin, stuff like that. I said, I don't know on Parkinson's and that. And he said, well, you know what? The man already knows where it's going to lead. I mean, if you look at Muhammad Ali and stuff like that, I said, I understand that. So what are you asking me? And, well, you know, he came over and we did a session, 20 minutes. I basically opened the aperture to full and covered his entire body. Now, he had to be strip almost naked, basically. He had a pair of underwear on, and he sat there for 20 minutes, and I basically enveloped him in the Godlight for 20 full minutes. 3 days passed by, the symptoms were drastically reduced to the point that after the second dosage of 20 minutes, the physical stages of Parkinson's disease, the shaking and that, are already gone from his body. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what that proves, but he seems to be happy, and as long as he's happy, that's fine with me. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? The cancer researcher said it's not a far reach, along with the physicist, with regards to how it's handling the tumors, in that I don't know any about this, but this is what they're saying, that cancerous tumors, the cancer itself, forms its own bloodstream. I said, well, I didn't know that. I don't even know what that means. They said, basically, your light, in that it can penetrate, normal light can penetrate. If you took a flashlight, anybody, take a powerful flashlight, turn the lights off, put it against the palm of your hand, turn the back of your hands around, and you can basically see. I mean, the light can penetrate skin. That's sure, a given. Sure. Yours is so powerful that it hasn't got a problem penetrating the skin, and it doesn't seem to be affecting the healthy cells, just the cancerous cells. I think, this is from his opinion, that you're actually interrupting the bloodstream that the cancer needs to survive. Well, and when you do that, you basically shut down the tumor. You'll kill it eventually.
Just to back up for a sec, Troy, sure. Is there any information that you can make public about who the scientists are or who they're working with or the organization they're working for?
The two scientists that I'm working with, and I mean 20 years, I've never had the good fortune of actually working with somebody in the scientific community. I've got lots of connections from MIT and Harvard and that, where they don't mind giving me their phone number to talk to, but God forbid I ever give their name out. I can understand that. I mean, as they said, Troy, you're viewed in some circles as a maverick. Others that, yes, you might well be a genius, but there's other circles you're viewed as a nutcase. So it's kind of difficult for a laureate to associate themselves with us. Yeah, I understand all that stuff. So that's what I've been putting up for 18 years. And then this eminent physicist calls from Germany, and he actually has a science. He's actually working with me along with this cancer research scientist. And what they said was, and I said, guys, I've been through it before. I understand that fully. I'm not an idiot stick. They said, listen, until the preliminary results are done, until we know the side effects, Troy, we cannot lend our name publicly to what you're doing, for the simple fact that, and this is their quote, and I thought, that's a good quote, we're not looking for cold fusion in a bottle. And I understood exactly what he was saying. These were two eminent scientists back in the 80s that basically went to the public and the media, which they weren't supposed to do before all the findings were in, and said, we discovered cold fusion in a bottle. Well, they didn't, and they're still picking egg off their face along with the university they work for. So these two eminent scientists are not going to come out and say, oh, yes, we're working with Troy, and this is what we're doing, because basically the physicist said, Troy, listen, what if after the third session, the mice that we're doing the preliminary studies on are actually cancer-free? Totally. Unprecedented, right? The fact that there is a 27% reduction in 52 hours in this tumor is beyond the comprehension of most scientists. That's unbelievable. But let's say that we cure them in a month, Troy, with Godlight. What happens in 4 months? Now we're with you publicly. We're doing interviews. Everything's fine. What if happens in 4 months? Now we're on to mouse number 3 and 4 and 10 and 15. They all die. All of them, Troy. They all die.
Oh, yeah. No.
I said, okay, I see what you mean. He said, Troy, then it's not the public we're worried about, Troy. It's our peers, the scientific community. We will be bastardized, is the exact word he used. He said, they will oust us from the community. He said, we will be looked at as idiots. Wow, you know, how could you even think of associating yourself with this hick that lives in North Bay, Ontario, working in this garage? I mean, it's absurd, da-da-da-da. So I said, no, I understand fully, doctor. I said, I can wait for 2 years. But in the meantime, no, if I get calls, I'm not going to look at a mother with a 5-year-old child who basically has 4 months to live because she's dying of cancer and they've tried everything and say, no, sorry, science says that we're not ready for that yet, so you know what, your child has to die. If you want to sign a waiver, you want to bring your doctor to my lab to oversee everything, I'll be more than happy to give a dosage of 20 minutes. And if it helps your child, fine. The calls that I'm getting from people in the public are, well, what do we have to lose, Troy? I've already talked to cancer patients that looked and said, Troy, we tried everything. We are dying. We have 6 months to live. One of them brought up, and I said, well, you know, I never really looked at that. Wow. They said, remember, Troy, remember Michael Landon. I said, yeah, I remember actually watching him. He's 54, Troy. All of a sudden, he gets hit with stomach cancer. The guy does an interview. Beautiful, gorgeous-looking man, you know, in the prime of his life. He's sitting there doing an interview saying, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to battle it. A month later, you see him in the same interview. He's down to like 110 pounds, and he's dead 3 days later. So when you get to that situation where you've tried everything and nothing works, well, what the hell have you got to lose? I said, exactly. I understand that. I understand when people tell me that. And being a Christian man and you know, it's not named that for nothing. I'm looking at it. I'm healthy. I've been sick. I was down 18 pounds in the last year and a half because of what the side effect of the angel light did to me. I had hair growth spots all over my body, hair loss, so sick you couldn't believe it. I've been sitting for the last week in front of angel light, totally naked in my lab, 20 minutes, and I am up 14 pounds. I've gained 14 pounds. I have all of my hair growth from all the spots are all back. I feel like $1 million. I'm back in the treadmill. I haven't been on the treadmill in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you've been getting a lot of publicity because of the recent TV and radio that you've done now. I know this has put a fair amount of pressure on you, but how are you holding up with that?
Well, I don't get a lot done, unfortunately, because the phone's ringing off the hook, and, you know, I'm not an ignorant person to, well, I'm busy, take a hike. I mean, if somebody calls, I've always been like that. I mean, you know, I haven't got no problem talking to somebody. Now, it might get a little crazy in that the British press is going to be releasing the basically the preliminary findings on Godlight, and I have already been told from individuals that work with me that it's going to get crazy, Troy. You might well, a month from now, have 300-400 people a day lined outside your door that just show up out of nowhere. You know, I've got this cancer, I've got this disease, I've got that disease, then I'm really in a tough spot. I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do? I mean, holy geez, it's an open clinic, everybody come in and here you go. I mean, you know, I'm a very private man. I mean, you know, I work 20 hours in my lab. I don't go out much at all. But, I mean, I know I've basically, totally, as the doctor of physics said, his quote was, you might well have created the penicillin for the 21st century.
Sure,
and
sure.
I know what he's talking about. Penicillin was purely by accident. Well, so is Godlight. I would have never made the turn. I don't want to take full credit for it because I would have not built the units that this eminent physicist built, and I would have never went the path that he went with regards to cancer. Had I not been talking with him, I would have not made the relationship of why the light is burning my skin and nothing else. I would have never made that leap to switch the units around and then go to cancer, because that's basically what the light's doing to the cell structure. It's working on living tissue, basically, is what the leap he made.
Well,
I knew right off the bat, Troy, that it was working on living tissue, plant tissue, human tissue, cell structure. That's what it was working on.
I read a report in, I believe it was Scientific American this summer, and they were talking about a device that was composed of red LEDs. You know, nothing special about them, but it was a really bright LED bank. And the idea was they were testing it on patients with cuts and burns, and they found that simply by putting light on it, they were able to heal 3 to 5 times faster. So it makes perfect sense that by
manipulating... Well, yeah, that's what he said. And I've done it 3 times to create this thing with my wife. Like, I mean, she just says, you're an absolute nutcase. And I said, you know what? I think it's the coolest thing you've ever seen. And I said, I'm going to do it on a live media broadcast. You should see what I'm able to do. This will freak you right out. This is the coolest thing. And this is what I do. I forget animals. I work in a human body. I work in my own human body. This is the neatest thing I've ever seen. I will take a blowtorch. I'm telling you, I'll do this live. Any cam, any network that wants to come down, I'll do it live. I can take a blowtorch. And that blowtorch, I take a metal rod about an inch in diameter, solid, and I heat the end up to molten red. I mean, it's molten red. Now, it takes a lot of practice. I mean, I'm a martial artist, so I can handle a pain for a certain amount. And I basically stick it into my arm. And it causes second, third degree burns. I also do it with the other arm. And the arm that I first did it to, I stick it in front of Angel Light for 3 minutes. And it's covered with a cloth. And it's soaked in a vinegar solution. It actually works. I don't know why it does that, but it does. And the right arm that has been burnt to the same degree, if I just put the normal medical stuff, like, you know, a bandage and you put the salve on it and stuff like that, that takes 2 weeks to heal. Within 48 hours of 2 doses of Angel Light, the other arm that has the second degree burn completely heals 100% with almost no scarring.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, 2 days. I've done it 3 times now, just for the hell of it. It's the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, well, you know, and speaking of visitors and stuff, I mean, again, I had a call from NASA the other day, and I've had numerous calls and inquiries about Angel Light. Well, we're almost out of time for today, but I definitely like to wrap things up by saying this is a tremendous announcement, and I definitely hope to hear more from you in the future about, you know, the continuing breakthroughs that you've been making. And again, Godlight is not the first. You've had, you know, 8 or 9 wonderful inventions now, and so, you know, definitely I look forward to seeing more in the future.
I appreciate your interest, buddy. You're a good man.
Well, thanks again, Troy.
Okay.